This is a CKTZ news update. How island growers are adapting to the dry summer heat. Closely observing and responding to weather fluctuations has always been key to a grower's success. However, the recent extreme heat in early July is forcing farmers to rethink plans for future resiliency.
This heat dome was the first time where I actually felt, holy crap, here it comes. We've been talking about it. We've been hearing the impact of the droughts in some of our southern neighbors. We're going to have to get a lot stronger about how we're doing things and how we're supporting each other as community members and how we can support the food producers.
Tamara McPhail and Adam Sheik of Linnea Farm gave their perspective on this 2021 summer season. What are some of the challenges that you're facing right now? We're speaking today on the wondrously day in the middle of a long spell of dry weather.
Definitely fire and the dryness of the season is kind of paramount in my mind right now. We knew that there was some warmth coming our way. So that old adage of make hay while the sun shines really takes over. And then you throw in climate change and something called a heat dome and you just have to roll with the punches.
Making hay is an important annual activity at Linnea. The first step is cutting, then what's known as tedding, or fluffing the hay so that it dries sufficiently to then be raked and baled.
It's basically 2 days of tedding traditionally. It kind of makes this sound when it's dry enough to be baled, and it definitely had that sound on the first day that it had been laying on the ground. Well, and the bales were super light too. We felt like uber strong humans by lifting up these bales. I've never seen hay dry that fast or feel that light. And they were difficult to stack in our barn too. That was really challenging.
There are also 11 bovine residents at Linnea, 5 adults and 6 juvenile cows.
And then I moved the cows back out to the area that they had been in prior to us haying, which in my mind looked great. The grass looked great to me, but definitely the cows were not impressed with it at all. So I think, again, because it was so dry, that the nutrients that traditionally are there weren't there. And it kind of spun our cows into this 4 or 5 days of just, I said that they were yelling at me all the time. They were basically just mooing all the time, which tells me that they're not content. Typically, you only hear cows if one of them is stressed or if somebody gets on the other side of the fence. This was in the middle of the night making loud noise, and it was really stressing me out because I thought, oh my God, am I going to need to start feeding these cows hay? Traditionally, we make hay and we store it for the winter. And you do this equation where you've like, okay, I've got this amount of cows. I have to feed this amount of hay. I need this amount of bales in the barn. This is what the winter's going to look like. But then if the grass isn't good enough for their consumption and you start feeding them hay, it starts to tip the scales pretty dramatically at a time of the year when you don't want them to tip. You want them to be like more in the abundant side of things.
Can you tell me about the community event that happens around the hay?
We make hay while the sun shines, and then we ask people to come and help us. This year, Adam was out on the tractor cutting, and then we spend 2 days tedding, and then on the last day, the rake comes out, and then the baler follows. And once those bales start hitting the ground, that's when we need boots on the ground. So the moment we cut the hay is the moment I send out the email, and I say, this day, this place, show up, we'll feed you afterwards. And I never know who's going to show up, but I've never felt that we are shorthanded. I posted a video right after haying. I had been up in the barn with a group stacking bales. So you don't really know what's going on. You're just getting like bale after bale after bale, and you're stacking and you're sweating and you're dirty and you're sneezing. And then I said, okay, we're at a place where one barn was getting really full, and I had to head out to the field to find out if we needed to move the hay elevator into the other barn. So I'm driving along in the back of somebody's pickup truck, and I just see Elijah from Blue Jay has showed up with a truck and trailer, and there's probably 12 people, and the trailer's just moving, and there's just bales getting piled, and it's moving so fast. And I just laughed. I was so happy because I had no idea what was happening out in the field. I had been in the barn the whole time. So, and it's age old. We're doing it, with the exception of the diesel tractor and the machines, we're doing something that our forefathers and foremothers and other people prior to our habitation at Linnea Farm have been doing since the beginning of the agricultural movement.
Would you say that this long, dry spell is unusual, or are you somewhat used to it at this time of year?
You know what? The weather's been so up and down for a long time. I would say since the early 2000s, it's always felt really different. I think this is my probably 25th year of gardening. And when you farm, you see these cycles and you know you adapt to it. So it's not the weather that happened today. It's whether you and I can do things to change the outcome. So it's a different weather.
Seems that you rely a lot on your senses, listening to the cows, listening to the hay.
The agrarian senses, yeah, it's good. And it's exhausting at times too.
Gut instinct, that's one of the most important things as a gardener. It's like, I can tell it's going to rain today and there is a weather app, but you know, you can feel it a few days before it's going to happen and getting in that sort of cycle where you're in sync, right? You're not, oh, I wish I'd done that yesterday. It's like, I did it at the right time. It's rewarding daily and depressing daily farming. So it gives you a little bit of everything, wins and losses every day.
Climate change was mentioned quite early on in the conversation.
We've already set up some systems to allow our pastures the resiliency to go through some dry times. But definitely in the last little while, it's really been at the forefront of my mind as to how we do things, what we're reliant on.
Tamara used the example of consumers relying on tomatoes 12 months of the year.
We need to stop shipping food from halfway across the world, and we need to start working at building more community, building more resiliency, and really trying to shrink our impact.
Cover cropping, mulching, working in scales that are human, right?
There is also a new seed saving project in the works.
The idea of the seed library is think of it as a resource and have people share and care for these things. And a seed is a story. These all have, they've traveled through time. These are time travelers. These are stories, all the people that have connected these things. The idea is to encourage people to find and save and care for seeds and then have a place here on the farm eventually where people can come and take these things out.
CKTZ also heard about the challenges of dry weather from grower Noe Davidson of the Whaletown Garden Center, who emailed a few gardening tips. I tend not to expect rain in the summer and rely solely upon thorough waterings to keep the garden happy. The small amounts of rain we get in the summer are rarely enough to penetrate the soil very deeply. Luckily, most of our favorite summer herbs and vegetables enjoy a fair amount of heat. The few days that we had with the extreme heat was a challenge, but most plants will adapt with a little extra watering. A plant under stress from extreme heat will wilt to protect itself from the sun, which a deep and thorough watering in the early morning can help alleviate, as can misting plants with water midday, which lowers leaf temperatures. You have been listening to interviews with the growers at Linnea Farm and Whaletown Garden Center about the dry weather this July 2021.